Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Phoning It In, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. With each broadcast, your hosts bring you the latest news and information from professional wrestling in Georgia and around the Southeast. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Phoning It In with your hosts, Larry Goodman, Murder One, and Trent Van Dries.
July 18th, 2011, and yes, we are back once again with Phoning It In right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And I am Trent Van Dries, and I just woke up from a nap because, darn it, that's what old people do. But what a show we have tonight. And I do not throw bums out of a strip club. I don't know what my life is like, but what a show we have tonight. Larry Goodman has outdone himself. Folks, you better sit down. I hope you're already sitting down in front of your computer or have your iPod on, because tonight, folks, Larry Goodman has booked CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Vince McMahon, and John Laurinaitis to be our guest tonight. What a show this is going to, well, not exactly, but we still have a great show for tonight, actually. Larry has booked three guests. We're going to have from Showtime All-Star Wrestling, none other than Jesse Emerson will be on tonight. The controversial, ever controversial wrestler, Georgia wrestler Nemesis will be on. And no doubt Nemesis is much tougher than Shadow Jackson. We've already established that. And last but not least, also a visit from, hope I get this right, Larry, from WestGeorgiaWrestlingFans.com. Mark Grayson will be on for a bit, as well as Chicken Hat Charles and God knows what else. So, Larry, I'm going to make the hot tag off to you, brother, working man. Larry Goodman from Norcross, Georgia. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, we're going to. I'm going out in a blaze of glory tonight. Three guests. We got the, Nemesis is always. You never know the unpredictable man.
No.
The Georgia's wrestling bad boy. You know, you never know what's going to happen there. And I don't know. I think he is. We'll check it out tonight. I think we have the only wrestling lawyer in the business. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe he'll be able to tell us about that. So, and of course we're joined again this week. He's back. He's making it two shows in a row. The former NWA, one half of the former NWA World Tag Team Champions, Murder One.
Don't forget the first thing to ever shoot at somebody in pro wrestling, so you got to throw that in there.
to me, that outweighs the world championship, you know what I mean?
Well, okay.
And he carries a shank in his pocket.
Oh, God. So how exactly do you – I was wondering something about last week. How exactly do you sharpen a toothbrush? You just take it on the cement and rub it? What's the process?
Right? You've done it before, haven't you?
No.
That's exactly how I did it. I rubbed it on the concrete till it got nice and sharp.
Wow.
And then I stuck it in my hat.
That's disturbing.
It is disturbing, but it's awesome.
Well, Larry, you just you threw a little tidbit out there in your opening words. You said going out in a blaze of glory. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm going to be taking a little hiatus from Radio Land here for a bit, but never fear, Phoning It In will continue, and we'll have more details on that later. But I'm going to be sort of a sometimes occasional participant rather than a regular participant. So, but we'll have more
just
on that
spill
later.
Just spill the beans, Larry. Just spill the beans right now.
Yeah,
well,
spill the beans.
Well, I mean, the beans I can spill so far is that hopefully Murder One will be carrying forth here.
Sally for it. Yeah, Phony to the End is going to get more mature.
And
Murder One having his own show episode, can you imagine? Oh my God.
We're gonna phone in some porn stars.
With a co-host to be named later, right? The co-host remains a mystery co-host at this point, right?
Yeah, I've threw it out there to a couple people, and I'm just gonna smoke one and debate on who would be the best fit for me.
Now, Larry, I just want to know, like, if Murder One takes over, if I'm possibly involved occasionally, do I retain custody of Chicken Hat, or does he go to Murder One?
It's in my contract. You can have Chicken Hat. You can have him.
I will not
even argue. I'll give you $5 right now if you take him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Send you a
money. That covers most of the fee right there, man.
There you go.
Quite a deal.
You can have Chicken Hat. I want Deep Throat back on my show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, I'll give you Deep Throat, and I'll give you the $5 back if you keep Deep Throat. We'll call it even.
There you go. Done deal. You heard it here.
Done deal
I get Deep Throat, he gets the Chicken Hat Charlie.
Well, I just want to tell you guys that it has been a pleasure to be on with you guys a couple times a month. I've really enjoyed this particular run of podcasts. It's been a lot of fun.
Don't get all mushy and shit now.
Not mushy. I'm just saying, Murder One, you're one of the more favorite guys I've ever carried. So.
Since it's the last show, I'm going to let you have that one. Hey,
you've added a little tidbit,
though.
You've added a special brand that nobody else could have added, so I'll give it to you.
Here's something, though. You know, I'm doing that NWA gimmick in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
I get to meet Paradise.
That's right.
Oh, cool, yeah.
You certainly will. You get to meet Paradise and Muhammad Ali Vaez. I guess you were out that week. Yeah, there's several. Mike Mondal's going to be there. Several of you guys are going to be there. Actually, that should
Paradise,
be
if Paradise is listening, keep your peacock away from me.
Well, you know, since you're the first man in wrestling to actually fire shots on a wrestling show, you could be the first man in wrestling history to touch Paradise's peacock. You could make history twice in 1 year.
How about I shoot the peacock?
Ooh.
Even better.
Well, where's he going to get his feathers from after that? I mean,
looking at his picture on the poster, I'm not sure if the peacock's going to be his cock or, a avian. A bird.
Just
you know
touch
what I mean?
His peacock. Just touch his peacock and hope for the best.
How about if I take Chip Day with me and he can touch the peacock?
Better.
He might stroke the peacock.
Oh boy.
Is Chip Day making this road trip?
Yeah.
I don't know. He said he was gonna try to ride up with us. You know, we could always use another driver.
Who's all going up with you guys?
Well, it's going to be, so far it's just me, AJ, and Jimmy Rave.
Oh, because Bill Barron's last week was unsure if Jimmy Rave would make the trip.
Well, as last as I've known, Jimmy Rave was going, but if that's the case, if he's not going, so be it. Chip Day will go, he'll drive all 9 hours.
Wow.
While I sleep in the back seat. How about that?
If that show wasn't on a Sunday, I'd consider going to that show, but since it is, I'm not.
How far are you?
Five hours, maybe, something like that.
You can make that trip.
Well, you got to understand, I work on Sunday night, and I'm a whore for the big money.
Okay.
That's why.
I feel you. I'll let you slide because you know I'll drag your ass in the ring after the show.
I know, and also, well, it's not really you so much. I know Gaten's going to be there. And that's really what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got scared, didn't you? See, you popped up a plan, didn't you?
Old Doc Gaten. Yeah, and I'm going to say right now, old Doc Gaten, he's back as commissioner, and I'm going to make the prediction. It's only a matter of time before his old ass is back in the ring and Rampage. We all see it coming. It's like Fire and Cena. Old Doc Gaten's going to be back in the ring before the year's out.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
I don't see it at all.
He can't stay away. He can't stay away. It's in his blood.
I think he's going to hang it up.
I don't see it. You can see it in his eyes. He wants back in badly.
Well, it is what it is.
Hey, speaking of RPW, I'm looking forward to seeing Jeremy Vain and Frankie Valentine after seeing their TV match this last week.
Yes.
That's a hot feud there. I'm looking forward to seeing that. You gearing up for Sizzling Summer Bash Murder?
Oh, hell yeah. Anytime I get to punch Crew Jones in the throat is good. it's not much preparation there, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me that you'd rather punch Crew Jones than Sean Banks? I mean, I think Banks would be a lot more fun to punch.
Man, see, the thing is, Sean Banks, if you punch him in the throat, then, you know, you're depriving the world of funny things. He says almost all shit, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd just rather kick him in the dick and call it a day. Because if I kick him in the dick, it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him worse if I kick him in the throat. Because, A, he won't be able to go bang no hot chicks, and it'll probably hurt when he pisses, which it probably already does.
I bet it burns when he pees. What's the story with Jeremy Vane cutting all his hair off?
He told me that it was a he was wrestling some guy at APW, and he turned his back for a minute to sign a contract, and Buddy got the hair. Snipped it off.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Snipped that shit right the fuck off. I would beat that ass.
But Larry's right, boy. That match on TV was good, and they got a pretty hot little program going on. You guys got a, you know, intense thing going on with the Hot Like Lava. So, I mean, it's not like last year when you guys had Danielson in, but I think it should be an all right show.
It should be. I mean, the four-way that we're doing, it's got some nice talent in it. You know, you got the suspect. You got Hot Like Lava. You got... what is it, Jimmy Raven Sal? And then, of course, you got just announced it was Kyle Matthews and Ace Rockwell.
Rockwell's making his debut, isn't he, for Rampage?
It's his re-debut.
Okay.
Oh, yet another Bill Barron's boy in the mix. I see how it goes down there.
But you know what? This is the good thing, though. See, he hasn't been welcome to Rampage properly.
Oh, what does that mean?
Before we pin him and get his ass up out of there, we're going to welcome him to the roster.
Mm.
Usual suspect style, you know what I'm saying? Size 14 boot to the head. AJ suffocating him. You know? I mean, Kyle Matthews just don't know what he did by picking Ace as his partner, because shit, Ace ain't done nothing in the company yet. Now he's jumping in with the Wolves.
And the thing about Ace is you never know if he's going to show up or not. He seems to have a lot of like shoot job.
I didn't want to say that, but you said it.
I'm saying it. He's good when he's there, but you never know.
If he doesn't show up, I don't know who could take Kyle Matthews' place. I'm not opposed to beating his ass by himself.
And you tell Jeremy Vane that I said he's getting just a little bit out of shape and he needs to tighten it back up a little bit. That's from me.
I'll tell him.
Please do.
If you're listening, Jeremy V, you should call up here and say something about that.
Well, maybe it's the short hair that made it visually different, but I believe he's put on about 10 pounds of what Larry Goodman would call table weight.
So what you're saying is when he cut his hair, it accentuated certain areas.
Well, that's my theory.
That's your theory.
My theory is he just put on a little weight, but I was trying to be nice about it.
Jeremy V, if you're listening, call.
But it's not much. It's just, you know, he needs to get his mojo back. But, boy, I tell you, I really do like Jeremy V as a worker. Him and Frankie Valentine, man, they really click.
They do.
Really
Frankie's
good.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. And that nosebleeding gimmick, boy, that just adds to his matches. You know, what
it really does.
On the last, What I wish they would have done in the last show, you know, when Doug Summers hit Frankie, he ended up with, like, blood all over his knuckles. Man, it would have been nice if they would have shown a close-up of the bloody knuckles. I'd love that.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah,
but
now,
see,
if that had been,
the,
you have to say, if that had been NWA Anarchy, Jeff Bailey would have made sure that we had a close-up of those knuckles.
Because it was just perfect, you know, just blood right on the knuckles. It was perfect.
It would have been a 15-minute promo about that. But all 15 minutes would have been entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chicken Hats, chomping at the bit here.
Let him chomp. Bring him on. Yeah.
Everyone, this is Chicken Hat, and this, of course, is The Bottom Line. If you watched Money in the Bank last night, you know the main event was a real bad setup. You halfway through the match, John Cena was trying to pin CM Punk many, many times, and lo and behold, who comes out but Mr. McMahon. I kind of expected someone else, but, well, that's just me. Anyway, halfway through the match, when he thought Punk was going to win, he tried to stop the match, which kind of is reminiscent to one setup at the Survivor Series many years ago. However, John Cena would want nothing to do with that. As he pushed away John Laurinaitis, he insisted that he'd prefer to do it on his own. Unfortunately, with that distraction, Punk won the match. Now, this all sets up later tonight to find out what happens to the title now that Punk is supposedly gone. Of course, I think Punk has something else in mind. But if you tune into Raw, we'll find out anyway. Now, on to another subject here. This past Friday, now everybody knows that I'm one for wearing an outrageous hat. However, this past Friday, during an APL USWO event, two dear friends of mine, Debbie and Dallas, has presented me with one of the most wildest hats ever. And they got this hat from a county fair. It's one of those, you know how all those pimp hats look like? Well, I got one with blue and, like, strings all over it, and you turn it on, it blinks. It was pretty good. I plan on wearing it to Showtime All-Star Wrestling this Saturday. Okay, and of course, there's some real tragedy I'd like to pass besides that setup at Money in the Bank. One of the wrestler's family members got into a real bad accident. His name was Mike Rapata. He got accidentally hit by a car, and, well, he's in a bad way. And from what I hear, he's, like, in a coma. And I send out all my condolences to him and his family members, and I'm pretty sure they're going through one hell of a time. I mean, I know how it feels to get hit by a car. I, too, got hit by a car myself. However, I lucked out very, very well. Well, that's all I have to say. And that, my friends, is the bottom line. Until next time, Earth, try to stay classy.
That's what's up, Chicken Hat. On
awesome.
Second thought, Trent. On second thought, Trent, I might have to keep him just for that. We could, if you want to do something, we can just let him be on both. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, I mean, Chicken Hat needs to be shared with the world. Hey, just to clarify, Charles is talking about Mike Rapata Jr. got hit by a car, not Colorado Kid. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, Charles, Dave Meltzer is talking about that pay-per-view last night as being like one of the best of the year, one of the best of modern wrestling, an absolute definite buy on the replay. Did you think it was that strong of a show?
I think some parts were exciting, particularly the Money in the Bank matches when they were trying to outdo each other with the ladders. I'd have to say they really outdone themselves. However, with this CM Punk thing, I hope they can straighten this out because it would make what the main point of the Raw match very pointless. You know what I mean?
Hey, Hey, Murder and Larry, did you watch the show? I actually taped the replay, and I watched like an hour of it. The SmackDown Money in the Bank match was really, really good, and the Big Show and Mark Henry match was actually a good big man match. That's as far as I've gotten so far.
That's rather really shocking.
Do you guys see it?
I haven't seen it. You know, I don't watch WWE pay-per-views, I heard that main event was, you know, the Cena Punk match was real good. So
yeah. But you know, Charles, they got the same problem we were talking about last week. Now, supposedly John Cena's supposed to be fired, and we know he's not going to be fired. I mean, that's my problem with it.
Well, I kind of expected CM Punk not to win the match, but surprise, surprise.
Hey, Charles, have you heard what happened to Sin Cara?
Sin Cara?
Yeah.
Not really. I do know he was probably hurt. I'm not sure, but the way you're asking, I think it might have been more.
Yes, it was more. Sin Cara fairly failed a steroid test, and he's right now he's under 30-day suspension.
Oh. Yeah, you can't tell me that pro wrestling don't have the same problems as all pro sports have. That seems to be the number one problem of all pro sports, particularly football and baseball.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, I don't know if you saw this, Larry, but Dave Meltzer, when he reported on Sin Cara's suspension, actually added that Sin Cara may not be brought back. I thought that was an interesting comment.
Mm. Yeah, I wonder what Triple H thinks about that.
Yeah, this is Triple H's pet project, so yeah. And I think that explains why that Averno guy hasn't been in. People have been asking about the guy they hired from Mexico. I haven't seen him. That's probably what's even stranger about it is apparently Sin Cara failed the steroid test in early June, and they're just now suspending him. I don't understand how that works. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, that's the ways of the WWE works. He works through the pay-per-view, and then they suspend, huh?
Yeah, but I guess that's why they didn't bring his buddy from Mexico in, is my theory, you know. Anyway.
Well, Charles, thanks again for a fine report.
Yes, thanks, Charles.
Well, you're welcome. One other question.
Please.
There is no show next week, right?
You are correct, sir.
Good.
As a matter of fact, the show is being retooled, Charles. I'll get with you on the schedule, but apparently Murder One is actually going to take over for a couple of weeks, and earlier we were talking about who gets custody of you, and now we've decided to split custody.
Oh, there may be a bidding war. It could be a bidding war for your services, Charles. Don't let him off the hook that easy.
So
you could go see your mommy Trent every other week.
Yeah, sure. When you said it's retooled, does that mean it's not going to be on the air for a while?
Details to follow.
It won't be long.
It won't be long.
Okay. Well, I'm sure Trent has my number. He'll let me know what's going on.
I will stay in touch, Charles. I'll let you know.
Okay. And if
don't
it,
cry,
if,
Charles.
If,
be all right.
Just so you know, that 2 week, 2 Mondays from now is my birthday.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Last year
I celebrated my birthday going to a TNA event in North Carolina.
What are you
doing like, Charles?
Yeah.
You like porn?
Not really.
I was going to get you something good for your birthday if we did the show on your birthday.
Charles, do you drink?
Yeah,
nothing
you
stronger
drink?
Than Coke or Pepsi.
Gotcha.
So
I'm what
curious,
if it was a Coke with a dash of Hennessy in it?
What?
What if it's some Coca-Cola with a dash of Hennessy? Would you drink it then?
No. That has alcohol in it. I said I don't drink it. I don't drink anything stronger than Coke or Pepsi. In fact, the only beer I ever drink has the word root before it.
That's disgusting.
Gotcha. Well, Charles, I am curious. Somebody else asked me about this a while back. How old are you? How old are you going to be? I have no idea.
I will be 48 years old. Two
really?
Steps away from the big 50.
Wow. Okay, I was curious about. Okay, jeez, you're even older than me. You're not older than Larry Goodman, but you know Larry Goodman is like he goes back a ways. Put it that way.
Yeah, he's ancient, but you're well preserved, Charles.
No, you
well,
are.
Thank
you are.
I try. I keep up.
All right.
Thanks, Charles.
Well, I will be in touch with you, Charles. I'll give you the heads up.
All right.
Stay classy, Chicken Hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops.
Cut him off.
I got his last word there. Sorry. I thought he was done.
What was he saying?
I don't know. Area code 404. You're on phoning it in.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
How's it? Yeah, what's up?
I'm good, yo. This is DJ, yo. Yo, I'm talking about the whole you need a new host? Yo, Murder, your boy's interested.
You want to be my co-host?
Oh, well, good.
Hey, why not?
Okay, well, check it out. Since this man had called in, we got to open the lines to see if anybody else wants to be the co-host. I'll take a fan. Thank you, sir. You just set it off. You may not win, but you set it off. Matter of fact, you will not win. So, see ya. Click it.
Hey, be good.
All right.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Oh, you acted like you knew him.
It was like a drive-by or something, huh?
I just talk to people like that. If you call in, I'm cool like that. I talk to people.
You got away. I think it was like a drive-by, one of your hookup buddies or something.
Hooker buddies?
Yeah.
Did you say hooker?
Hookup.
Oh, no. You're talking about the tree men. No, they would never call this show.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Never know who's listening.
We're joined now by Mark Grayson, the owner-operator of West Georgia Wrestling Fans website and the driving force behind Willpower and next Saturday's second annual Will Grayson Memorial Show and Night of Champions. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey. Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you doing this.
Anytime.
For those
Murder, I do not want to be your host.
You do?
I do not
I
want to
know.
Be Murder's co-host.
Cross him off the list.
AJ doesn't feel too strongly about you, so that'd be like a class or whatever interest.
I think so.
But you're too laid back, so I don't know.
The old
school final phoning it in before we take it to the extreme. Or we're gonna add some hood to this.
Scares me.
It should.
Scares
me. You see how I'm talking to Mark? I talk to him because I know him. But I'm just talking to him just like the robot man that called up here and wanted to be my co-host.
He's talking to me as if I was a perfect stranger.
I just happen to see AJ get in his face all the time.
Yeah.
So, okay, let the serious people do their thing. I got to take notes.
All right. For our listeners who aren't familiar, Mark, could you just sort of give us a little rundown on how you got involved in the West Georgia Wrestling Fan site and then how that led into the things you're doing now with ring announcing and with Willpower and so forth?
Okay. It actually started, West Georgia Wrestling Fans actually started as my son Will's dream, really. We had been attending indie shows for some time, and even at 8, he was on the internet looking for info, and there was a limited amount of info coming from, especially from Georgia wrestling history, and he really wanted to actually make his own site to hype up all the wrestlers that he saw locally. So we put together a MySpace page at first just to really keep up and put the photos up that we were taking and the results from the shows that we went to, and it just sort of blew up from there. Some of the promoters started sending me info, and fans started sending me info, and it just really grew from there.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so in May 2010, Will passed away. I took a little bit of time off, but it was actually Charlie Cash told me to get busy living or get busy dying, and I decided to throw myself really into into the site and trying to get, I guess, get more involved. I had been doing some work with UIW at the time and doing some ring announcing, and it just sort of took off from there. I really feel like it's all because of his interest in indie wrestling in the area. It started out really in Douglasville, watching Murder at a small promotion that he was in with Total Championship Wrestling here locally. And he just became a huge mark. And in turn, of course, I became a gigantic mark, and it's just blossomed from there. Willpower itself came about after he passed away, and it really started as a memorial fund. We did not have life insurance on Will when he passed away, and that's something I would tell everybody to make sure that they have taken care of on their kids. You never think about a young kid dying. So we didn't have life insurance, and there was a flood of support, and there was some money left over, and actually my wife and I sat down and decided to start a foundation with the money, and we have used the money to put Bible study as an after-school elective in public schools in Paulding County, which is where we live, and basically trying to put back a little bit of Will back into the community. It's really turned into a much, much bigger force than I had ever thought it could be. I get calls and texts from people around the state at wrestling shows telling me that they see people in restaurants or at shows with Willpower shirts on, and it's really become amazing for me to watch.
So he more or less led you into it. I mean, as far as being involved as involved in wrestling as you are.
100%. I was a huge, huge wrestling fan. I grew up in Oregon. I remember sitting watching old school, Pacific Northwest wrestling on my grandfather's lap, and I lost touch. I really lost touch with it because stuff on TV wasn't doing anything for me. And it wasn't until Will got into wrestling and I couldn't get him to WWE shows, so I started taking him to the independent shows that I could find. And it really became his passion, and, it just became something that we shared. I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for him, for sure.
And the show this Saturday will be, well, I know that you've run several benefit shows and fundraising shows for charity at this charitable endeavors at this point, but this is the second annual memorial show, correct?
Correct.
Last
year in July.
Then we give did a little scoop about what's going to take place.
Sure. What we've tried to do, and what it was really was Will's idea the entire time, was to promote all the promotions in the area. So one of his, I have a book that he would sit down and write cards. And he'd have drafts, and he'd draft local wrestlers. Murder would be drafted and put on a team. It was really funny. So I went back through and I looked, and one of his dreams was putting together a cross-promotional show where we would get different promotions to put up their championships at our show or at his show. So that's what I've tried to do is I've got at least 5 championship matches going to happen that night along with a street fight match, Sesame Street fight match. That'll be a lot of fun for everybody to watch. It's sort of a takeoff on a West Georgia street fight that Will saw a long time ago with Micah Taylor and Crew Jones that we're going to have fun with. 5 different promotions going to be putting up their titles. We're hoping for something big from the big battle royal that we're going to have. Actually, we're calling it a battle rumble. It's going to be very unique. Team Willpower versus Team Chaos. 10 wrestlers on one team and 10 wrestlers on another.
And proceeds from the event go to the Willpower. Is it a foundation or what?
Yeah, it's the Willpower Reigns Foundation. Actually, it's Willpower Reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. All the proceeds go directly into the foundation, which is then in turn is being used. And what the immediate need is to put the it's a tropical themed Bible study into the two closest elementary schools to our house, which is where all of Will's friends went to school, which in turn he made some of the biggest little wrestling fans you've ever seen anyway. So it's always a blast putting on shows for the kids. I try and do at least two a year, and we've done several benefits also, trying to put back stuff in the community through Willpower. We also use some of the proceeds to put back into some of our partner churches. We use some of the money to put it back into Upward Sports, so we get kids that wouldn't be in soccer programs or wouldn't be in a basketball program or wouldn't be in a cheerleading program. We use the proceeds for that also. It's become
very
almost
nice.
A full-time endeavor.
Yeah, that's on top of your other duties with UIW is a regular thing for you with the ring announcing as well, correct?
UIW is a regular thing. I also work for NWF, which is just every Sunday, one Sunday a month down in Atlanta right now.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I work all over the place depending on who and when they need me. It's really become 3 or 4 days a week sometimes of pure wrestling, driving around trying to keep up with murder sometimes. Or not.
Well,
or trying to
that's
avoid
probably
them.
A job in itself, you know.
Trying to avoid them. AJ seems to have a thing for me, and not a friendly thing. But we have fun. UIW's not that kind of thing. We've had a blast. I mean, we've taken a Piggly Wiggly grocery store in Franklin, Georgia, and sort of gutted it out now. And half the place was ours, and now the full store is ours. So there's a lot of big things to come just with UIW.
Piggly Wiggly.
And Mark mentioned that a number of different promotions are going to be involved in the show this Saturday. Among those will be their Universal, of course, UIW will be their Universal Independent Wrestling, NWA Pro South will be represented, Mid-Georgia Championship Wrestling, Future Wrestling Federation, Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, Championship Wrestling Overload will all be represented on the card.
Yeah. We've got Chip Day will be there also representing Rampage. I've tried to get as many workers and wrestlers as I could from as many promotions involved in the Battle Rumble, too. So we've got Platinum Championship Wrestling and some guys from Chatsworth coming down. That was Will's whole thing, trying to get everybody involved. It turned out to be a lot of fun, too. I think we had 70 wrestlers at the last show altogether.
Wow.
Doors open at 6. It's going to go. We're going to go late into the night. We have a big after party planned at a local sports grill right up the street. We did the same thing last year. Will was a huge Bon Jovi fan and was always out somewhere. On Tuesday nights was our karaoke night. Besides wrestling, he was a Bon Jovi freak. So we are going to have a full-blown Bon Jovi sing-along. It's going to be crazy. We've also been meeting up at this little sports grill, and if you go to willgraysonmemorial.com, you'll get more information. But the fans have a chance to meet the wrestlers at the sports grill this Thursday. And there's always something going on. Last time Team Chaos chose to take it out on me, so you never know what'll happen. I seem to be taking a beating lately for some reason. Wherever I go, I seem to be taking a beating.
Well, keep your head down and good luck with the event on Saturday, Mark.
Here's something I haven't mentioned is I actually get my first match on the 29th, which is UIW's big summer show.
Whoa! Now fill us in a little more on this.
I get to team with Bull Buchanan versus Crew Jones and Captain America. Yeah.
Whoa! This is in Franklin.
Yep, on the 29th. Be our big summer blowout show.
And Captain America is Hulk Hogan, right?
He's a disgrace.
What?
That Captain America, I get sick to my stomach. Captain America is my favorite superhero, and I get sick every time I see that guy in that suit. You know, it takes a lot to disgust me, but that disgusts me.
Not my idea. But
Murder,
we're
going
to. We're going to have fun.
Are you
going to
be
anyway.
In Franklin on the 29th?
Yep.
Oh, undoubtedly.
Okay.
Me and AJ are the tag team champions.
Yep. They had a great match with the Fabulous Blondes, or the New Fabulous Blondes, this past Friday night, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I just posted some video from it today.
I watched
it. Good stuff. Yeah, Bull Buchanan is our heavyweight champion, and Murder and AJ are our tag team champions.
That's the show where I practice my shanking skills.
Yeah, that's where you ran in and shanked the bull, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I stabbed him between the second and third rib.
Wow. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. It was quite chaotic that night in Franklin, Georgia.
Yeah.
As it was this past Friday night, Frankie went out. You guys, when I came in on the conversation, you guys were talking about Frankie bleeding. Frankie did some bleeding on Friday night.
Yeah, it's serious, man. People need to check that thing out.
It kind of sounds like most of the Rampage roster works at other shows, don't they? A lot of them.
It's not all of us.
Not all of them, but quite a few.
There's other
quite
people. There.
I look at UIW as almost has almost become sort of ECW of the indies around here.
It's nice, man, for real.
Yeah.
It's a whole different
style of wrestling. The fans are fantastic. I cannot say enough, if anybody from Hurd County is listening, how loyal they are. We have some of the best fans in the world in Franklin.
Hurd County.
We took a Piggly Wiggly grocery store and gutted it out. Basically painted the walls black now, which was something actually that Larry said when I sent him a video of what we were trying to do at one time. We painted the walls black and trying to do everything we can do in the grocery store. We set up the ring. We only had half of it at one time. Now we have the full store, so we'll be adding more seating. But we have a little restaurant inside there, cafe, the whole thing.
Trent, did you notice that he said he sent the video to Larry and then Larry told him? Proving, once again, on the final show, the conspiracy has been lifted.
Hey.
Larry Goodman controls Georgia independent wrestling.
I put it over when it needs to be put over. It was a huge improvement. We can be seen on Wrestle Jam, which is in the LaGrange TV market. UIW can anyway.
Well, I was just thinking if this show was at a Piggly Wiggly and Murder One stabbed Bull Buchanan with a sharpened toothbrush, that would be the epitome of cleanup on aisle six.
Exactly.
That was truly a wild night. I think that was you were making your comeback to UIW that night.
Yeah, I was making my return.
Yeah.
Telling you, man, I came through the front door, slid in the ring, pushed him in the corner, and jabbed him up a few times. And that's the spot where nobody called me called me a nigger. They called me a fucking African American, and I wanted to punch that dude because it just came.
Oh, yeah,
I was working for the nigger. I was like, I was waiting on it. He said, you African-American. And I said, you just fucking call me African-American? Seriously, dude? Did you really?
no time for political correctness here.
Exactly. He came at me with such fierceness, I knew it was coming.
Meanwhile, people were screaming, dial 911, dial 911, don't let him go.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it was
in the back of a truck.
Yeah, it went over, that's for sure.
And are you in Franklin every Friday, or is it every other? What's the schedule?
The
there?
First
UIW.
We're in Franklin the first, third, and fifth Friday of every month.
Okay.
You go to universalindependentwrestling.com. We've had a ton of Saturday shows scheduled. A bunch of them have been postponed. It looks like in August we start back up. I know that we're talking about going back to Tennessee or going up to Tennessee. Our show we originally had scheduled in Tennessee has been postponed. Billy Knight's the promoter, and he's trying to push the envelope somewhat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, you were going to run Fayetteville, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
That's pushed back or postponed.
It's been pushed back probably till later in the summer, it looks like.
Okay. Well, Mark, thanks a lot for calling
Anytime.
In tonight. And for those, again, if you want more information on it, go to what is it, WillGraysonMemorial.com?
Correct.
And you can get more information on the show this Saturday. And, again, good luck with the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Take care. See ya.
Later.
Thank you.
We'll be back in about 60 seconds with Jesse Emerson.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today, and not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
And we're joined now by Showtime All-Star Wrestling star and a member of the Hamilton County's Prosecutor's Office, the Deputy Prosecutor there, Mr. Jesse Emerson, joining us on phoning in. And welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the show tonight.
Sure. My co-hosts here are Murder One and Trent Van Dree, so we'll all be shooting some questions at you.
All right. That sounds great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Jesse. Good. How are you doing?
All right.
Good deal.
Hey, Trent, I know you got to cut out of here in not too far distant future, so I thought I'd give you turn it over to you for some questions at first.
Okay, well, thanks, Larry. Hey, Jesse, yeah, pleasure to talk to you. I've been following you for a while with Saul and always enjoyed your work. I'm curious, how'd you get your start in pro wrestling?
I actually got my start at Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville, Kentucky. I was pretty fresh out of college and still in swimming shape from that, and had always loved it growing up, and just decided to drive down there and take a look at it, and Mike Mondo was there, and he was the trainer, and I watched one practice, and he asked me if it was what I wanted to do, and I said, heck yeah, and so I went and did the next practice the next day and did the rigorous beginner's course for 13 weeks there at Ohio Valley Wrestling. So that's, I guess, how I technically got started in the wrestling business.
Wow, I did not know that. I guess you might not know, but I now live in Louisville and go to OVW just about every week. I didn't know you started there, but I knew your training. I could tell by your work your training was good. So
I enjoyed it a lot there, and the trainers were really, really good. Just my only complaint or criticism, I guess, would be was the classes were so big, and I had maybe 20 people in my class, and so we could, you know, Mike Mondo and those guys are really good, and Candy was down there, and those guys are, you know, obviously very qualified, but, you know, with 20 people in your class, you did your drill and you learned, took a bump or something like that, and they would tell you how you could do it better, and then you had to get out of the ring and let the next people go. And so not as much hands-on practice as I would have liked, but it was definitely a good place to start out, I think.
Now what year was this?
2005, so I started out pretty late at the ripe age of 25.
Okay. Are you from... just ignorance, are you from Alabama? Is that where you're out of? Or?
No, I'm from Indianapolis, and that's where I am now, and I grew up in Indianapolis. I went down to undergrad in Tennessee and then law school in Alabama, and then when I was in law school, I continued training with the Wild Thing Will Owens in Huntsville, Alabama, around there, and did like the Birmingham promotion, some GCW and some Ultimate NWA, and then came up and did SAW, and did a little bit of Anarchy, didn't get to work there very long, but... So that's how I got my Southern wrestling education down there.
How did the Will Owens training compare to the Mike Mondo training?
Well, I mean, I felt like I got a lot more hands-on experience with the Will Owens training. He was really big into the psychology and the storytelling of it, and not just doing moves to do moves, but put them together and, you know, put everything to as a whole and to make sense in a match. And, you know, I like to give Will a hard time, but I definitely have to give him credit for that. And some of his buddies and some of the Northern Alabama guys helped me out along the way. And, you know, I trained in a small little work shed, and
about 100 degrees in the summertime, but learned a lot. And I have to give Will credit. I was really happy with how the training went down there.
Well, you seem to kind of show up and saw somewhat out of nowhere, at least from my perspective, you know, and a big guy, good-looking guy, in shape. Did you get into SAW through Will Owens? Is that how you first came to SAW?
Well, I think I got in through Christian Haim, actually. I mean, Will, I don't know if Will had done SAW, but Chris had helped me out a lot, and, you know, he's probably my best buddy in the wrestling business, and he actually put my name out there, and I think Paul Adams knew me from doing, I did a couple NWA Top Rope shows in Lebanon when I was, I think I did my third and fourth matches there, so they're probably terrible, terrible matches to watch, but I think I knew Paul Adams through that. And then I think that's how we got the SAW contact there.
Well, yeah, because you kind of came out of nowhere, and this guy's kind of got the WWE developmental look, is what I thought, and decent work. I was like, where'd this guy come from? You know, interesting. I remember one of your earlier programs in SAW was against Sigmund. Do you have any memories of that feud?
Yeah, I loved working with Sigmund. You know, he's you know, a little bit more experienced than me, and he was able to help me out a lot, and I thought everything we did was good, and I thought the storyline was good, and the matches were intense and physical, but they told a story, and you know, I learned a lot from him, and I thought I enjoyed that. That was my first actual kind of like TV feud I did, I guess, and so it was kind of cool, and it's fun to work with Sigmund, and you know, I enjoyed that very much so.
And then later, you did I don't know if controversial is a word, but an interesting feud with John Michael Worthington, which started over a photograph of your deceased sister that John Michael Worthington had and tore in half. Can you tell me how that storyline got going? Was that based in reality? It was kind of an interesting angle there.
Oh, well, no. I hate to spill the beans, but unfortunately it was not. I asked my sister's alive and intact, but I actually asked her if I could use her profile on the SAW TV, and she said no. So that is actually... Yeah, that's my best buddy's wife up here in Indiana,
wow.
Adam. So it was not my sister, but we look somewhat alike, and my sister's not as big of a wrestling fan as we are, and she is in law school, or she just graduated law school and is taking the Illinois bar now, and I think she just didn't want her likeness on SAW TV for some reason, so I had to use a step-in sister, my buddy's girlfriend and now wife at the time.
How did that storyline come about? Was that just a Paul Adams thing, or was that your idea? Or I mean, that was kind of a
that was definitely a Paul Adams thing. I don't know if I think a Paul Adams and a Reno thing, and John Michael and I never worked together. And that was another one that I was really happy with as well. Every storyline we've got going in SAW so far, I've really enjoyed a lot. And I thought John Michael and I had good chemistry in the ring, kind of different looks and different styles, and the way we wrestle is different, and you know, I think that turned out really good, and we brought out a good intensity to that feud that I thought you could, you know, I felt in the ring, and hopefully people, when they saw it, they enjoyed it and thought the same thing too.
Yeah, you could definitely feel the hatred there. I think it came across. Now, when you're presented with, okay, Jesse, we're going to do a storyline where this guy tears your dead sister's picture in half. What are you thinking? Like, oh my God, this is great. Or
yeah, well, I think it's cool. I think it would have been, if I did have a dead sister, you know, that may be a little bit tougher to do. But you know, it is the wrestling business, and you know, I'm fine with it. And you know, I was still, you know, trying to cut my teeth and trying to earn a good spot on SAW, I thought, and so I was all for it, you know. And John Michael was fun to work with too, very professional.
Now, you first, you know, came in working babyface, and later you did some heel stuff, and you appear to be a guy that can kind of go either way effectively with that. Do you have a preference?
I definitely prefer being a heel. I think you can, you know, I just enjoy doing that a lot more, and actually everywhere I work, Illinois I'm heel, and Indiana I'm heel, Ohio I'm heel, and now SAW I'm heel, so the major places that I work I'm heel, and I actually enjoy it a little bit more, but, you know, babyface is still fun, too, as long as I get to mix it up every once in a while. And, you know, I enjoy it, and I definitely enjoy doing the lawyer gimmick and using the big words and sounding condescending, and then definitely enjoy the heel a little bit more, though. But I think they're both fun.
Now, you mentioned the heel gimmick, and, of course, in your case, it's no gimmick. I don't know. Are there? Do you know of any other attorney professional wrestlers besides yourself?
No, I don't. I had heard of one a while ago in the out east New York, New Jersey area, but I didn't know if that was a gimmick or not. But I had heard some rumblings of that, but I can't put the name on it. But as right now, I think I'm the only lawyer that I know that also professional wrestles. So I think it's a good little niche to have, maybe. I don't know.
He's not a wrestler, but right now in OVW, Christian Muscagni is the manager of Mike Mondo, and he's a legit attorney, but he's not a wrestler.
Oh, I did not know that.
He's a manager, yes, but not a wrestler, but he is there in OVW, but first wrestler. Now, an attorney wrestler, I mean, that's kind of the yin and yang of combinations. How do you balance that? Or I mean, and do your lawyer constituents know of your other career?
Yeah, they certainly do. It's a big hit, in the office, and everybody's pretty cool with it. I actually had to ask my boss about that if he was fine with me being a bad guy lawyer, and he said long as you don't represent yourself as a prosecutor, because I guess he's in an elected position, and he wouldn't want anything to reflect poorly on the office. I understand that, and some people they have their judgments about pro wrestling, and then also other people can't distinguish between the TV show and,
right,
you know, real life. And so
sure.
You know, I think a great character someday would be to be a prosecutor, as in, you know, hey, it makes me feel like a man to throw people in jail and take your rights away, and I'm upholding the law and virtuous, and when in reality in the ring I am a piece of trash and cheat. And I think that would just be the one of the best characters of all time, or a great character, a fun character. But, you know, I also have a job during the week that I need to reflect – I don't want to reflect poorly upon the office where I'm at.
Right. Yeah. That's quite a bit. I mean, is it difficult to do both? I mean, do you ever sleep?
Well, I think I'm able to balance it pretty well. I mean, I'm very fortunate with where I work right now, and I'm able to work hard during the week, but I can get out on the weekends. Sometimes it's a lot tougher to make the Friday shows, unfortunately, with court trials and stuff like that. And I'm not able to do as many weekday shows as I would like. I'm able to do some Ohio days, but I don't get to do as many weekday shows as I would like. But, you know, I'm not making a living as a professional wrestler right now. And so I definitely, you know, have to put the law job first. But I love it, and it's fun.
Well, are you looking to go all the way with pro wrestling? Is it a more of a, I use the word hobby, but are you looking, you know, to make the big step if the opportunity arises?
Yeah, I would love to. I mean, that's kind of, I think that's a lot of our you know, goal. It's a tough goal, and you know, I'm a realist. I'm 31, so I'm getting a little older, especially for WWE, and you know, I don't have the best body in the world, and you know, there's always stuff that I can improve on, you know, but I would definitely love to do that. You know, I think I'm still at the stage where I'm getting better and working in better promotions and getting my name out there a little bit more, where I'm still improving, I'm still having fun, and my health is still pretty good. But yeah, that would definitely be my ultimate goal, to be able to do this as something, you know, to make a living, you know. And I think, I know I'm not naive, and I don't think that, you know, I have a golden ticket or anything like that, but it's something I'm willing to work hard for, and I still have that goal, definitely.
Have you ever had any contact with WWE or TNA or Fight Match, anything of that nature? Or?
I have been an extra on WWE 3 times. I didn't really get to do much. I got to chain around with Jamie Noble a little bit, and basically just kind of, you know, kind of hang out as an extra. And I didn't get to do a dark match. I would have loved to do a dark match. And then I'm on their FCW site, but nothing has really panned out from that. And so, you know, I'm, you know, not much really with the WWE. So, and then haven't gotten anything with TNA, but you know, definitely would love to do that again in the future. And I had a good time when I was there.
Well, what you need to do is win the SAW title, because then you're guaranteed to go to TNA. The way it's been
really.
That's your golden ticket. Anybody who wins the SAW International Heavyweight title goes to TNA, if you notice. Everybody.
Well, yeah, I know. I saw Kid Cash got signed, and
yeah.
I don't know if that's a full-time deal or what it is, but that's cool for him, and I think that, you know, he's certainly talented. He's awesome. So hopefully they use him well.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, you know, at his age, you know, he can definitely work with guys and help them. Hey, just two more quick little things, and I'm going to get off the phone and pass it off to Larry. But since you're an indie, and I know you work a lot, but, man, if you ever come down to OBW on Wednesday night, I'd love to see you. You're a great talent.
That would be great. I only have two Battle Royals experience in Louisville, and those were the drizzles. No one wants to scrape up those tapes anymore. I think that all I did was chop and then punch and miss about either stiff people or miss by about 6 inches on my punches. So I definitely need to vindicate myself in Louisville again, but I'd love to make it down there sometime.
Well, I think you'd be a great addition to the roster. The last thing is, and this is just for me, how did you come up with your black trunks with the kind of red maroon band around the middle? I mean, every time I think of you, I think of those trunks, and I mean, they're simple, but they're just, that's Jeff Sanderson. How did you come up with that design?
I don't know. I guess I kind of ripped him off Arn Anderson a little bit because I always liked his plain with the band on front, the thicker band, and I had the purple and the white and the red, and then I liked the Ric Flair, the way he does those initials, and put some sequins on those and had Adam Roberts out of Northern Alabama make those up for me. So, I'm not going to be the most flashy guy, and I don't think my trunks or knee pads or costume would reflect that, really. So.
No, but I think it works for you, and it's just something that makes you stand out. Okay, it's Jeff Sanderson. It's a nice, understated thing. I like it. Oh, Jesse,
well,
sorry to talk to you.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to pass off to Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks. I just wanted to go back to the
I like Trent. He's very nice to me.
Yeah. See?
he knows that you're in the courtroom Monday through Friday, and he knows you can talk some good game, and he didn't want to piss you off.
I'm not licensed down in Kentucky to represent anybody, so I can't bring any defamation suits against Trent.
Oh, good, thanks. Yeah, I just want to mention
slander libel.
Vince McMahon on Raw in a pink sport coat. Gotta love it. See you later, guys.
Hey, just going back to your law career for a second, it strikes me you must have a pretty open-minded boss there. But I think about some of the negative connotations of pro wrestling and so forth, that he's okay with somebody under his purview being involved in pro wrestling. So he doesn't have any problem with it.
No, he doesn't. And from what I've told him, he was elected in November, and he started up in January, and I had worked with him beforehand at the office, and so when he started up, I just had a meeting with him and was up front with him and asked him about it, and I figured that was the best way to do it. And I had to smarten him up a little bit. I didn't like to do that, but he asked some questions that I needed to smarten him up just a little bit on, just because you needed to know, and it was something that I needed to have him be okay with if I was going to be doing that at the office. So, but yeah, he's really open-minded, and he's seen some of my. They played a DVD at me at the prosecutor's office a couple Fridays ago, and they thought it was good Friday entertainment. And it was not really a match I wanted them to see. It was a last man standing match here in Indianapolis, and I actually worked with Christian Haim last year, and we got bloody and went through tables and all that kind of good stuff. I don't do that very often, but So, and he actually dug in. Everybody at the office is pretty cool with it, they act open-minded. And I think my judge gets a kick out of it too. I work in front of one judge every day, so everybody's pretty open-minded or has been pretty cool about it, at least to me. So
now when we spoke a month or so back at the Saw Show in Gallatin.
Oh, Gallatin, yeah.
Yeah, you said that at that point you were undefeated in the courtroom.
Well, in jury trials.
In jury trials.
Yes. I'm a 5-0 jury trial lawyer. So, you know, I've got the undefeated streak. I deserve a title shot in the courtroom, I guess, but not in bench trials. I've gotten my butt kicked around the courtroom a couple times, a time or two, but that's part of it as well. You know, you don't learn a lot of the stuff that is practical in law school. And, you know, I think just like wrestling or like anything that you want to get better at and improve upon, you're going to have to learn a lot and get beat up and got dragged around a little bit before you get good at it, hopefully.
They seem like such disparate endeavors. Are there things that cross over where in any way wrestling has helped law or law has helped wrestling?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is jury trials. I mean, you know, I do misdemeanors and felonies right now, and so it's not the, you know, I'm not doing murder trial of the century. I don't need to be over dramatic, but I do talk with jurors, and you know, especially when doing jury selection and asking them questions and getting to know them better and getting them to like me. I think a lot of it is, you know, I'm more uncomfortable than probably a lot of people without my experience of, you know, speaking in front of groups. And, you know, I think you can interact with people and read them a little bit better. And that's certainly something I think that's helped me a little bit, the comfort level. And then also, you know, this staying balanced, you know, I don't just wrestle. I don't just practice as a lawyer. I do a bunch of different things. And I think that keeps me balanced and keeps me mentally healthy.
You
maybe not the chair shots in the head, but
yeah.
Other than that, mentally healthy.
You mentioned your sister also going into legal career, and it just makes me wonder, you know, sort of like how does your family view your involvement in the pro wrestling business?
Well, I think it started out a little bit. They were not fans of it. Let's say that, and I think Mom is still wary. And I think Mom a little bit judged about, you know, the reputation of it. She's like, oh, what are people going to think about you? You're going to be a lawyer, and, you know, are they going to judge you and that kind of stuff. And then obviously she's worried about health concerns, and she's been to a show, but I think she gets worried about the more dangerous things, as I assume most parents would, you know, like superplexes and just big bumps and things like that. And, you know, I think like any parent, you know, my sister, I think, is kind of the same way. My brother was a little more skeptical, but now I think he's pretty supportive of it, and it's nice. And then all my friends and then all my extended family are very supportive of it. But I think Alex, my brother, is along for it, and Kristen and Mom are coming along now. We're working on them.
Were you a fan from a young age?
Yeah, I was. We didn't watch much of the NWA down, like they, you know, like a lot of y'all did growing up and years ago, but. I watched WWF, and we always watched the WWF Superstars on the Saturday morning, and then I forget what the Sunday show was called, and they did have the primetime wrestling as well. And my first pay-per-view we watched was SummerSlam 1988 with Macho and Hogan against the Mega Bucks. And I had to go to bed before the main event, so I was kind of Dad got some heat with me for putting me to bed before that, but as an 8-year-old, but it was pretty. That was when they did the pay-per-views during the week, and so ever since that, I've been hooked on it. And you know, I just I love the larger-than-life characters starting out with it, and you know, as I'm sure a lot of other guys who work in the independents, and then you know, you get to respect them more as athletes and entertainers as you get older. But yeah, I definitely love that the big characters growing up.
Who would you say has influenced your actual style in the ring?
A lot of people say the same things, but I mean, I like Kurt Hennig, I like Rick Rude, Shawn Michaels. I'm not as athletic, certainly not as athletic as Shawn Michaels or coordinator talented, but you know, a lot of stuff that he did, I'm impressed by. Bret Hart, you know, I like Nick Bockwinkel. I haven't got to see a lot of him, but from what I have seen of him, I enjoy him a lot. Just the smoothness in the ring, even some of the like the late AWA stuff with Kurt Hennig,
yeah.
Those kind of guys. And then, of course, I think most people loved, you know, like the Hulk Hogan's growing up. And I was a big Beefcake Mark and growing up, and, you know, the WWE guys. So,
how about of the current era guys? Who do you look towards and steal from or influenced by the current era people?
Current era guys? I think I like Robert Roode. I like CM Punk. I'm sure a lot of people like CM Punk, especially lately. That's actually, I watched the pay-per-view last night. And, you know, I like a lot of the guys who have made it up from the independents and not the guys that have had it, you know, just handed to them. I know it's hard work whether you do developmental or do the indies or however to get there. But I have especially a lot of respect for the guys that have traveled around and busted their butts for years, like the Bryan Danielsons or Daniel Bryans and those guys. And I think, yeah, definitely Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and in the WWE and in TNA. I like Robert Roode.
Mm-hmm.
Like those those kind of guys, I guess.
You mentioned that, of course, you're, you know, being located in Indianapolis, you're working in Ohio, Illinois, Indiana. What would you say about, give us a little, you know, we don't get much info about the Midwestern Indies down here or talk about it much on this show. What would you say are some of the better ones and that you're working with?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I'm working with AAW in outside Chicago, and that's a really good one, and that's what I'm doing on next weekend. Not going to make the stadium in, but that's a really good one. They have a lot of guys, you know, in the Chicago area, and Colt Cabana works there a lot, and they've had some ECW guys, and just the guys up there, even the non-names, are very talented. Insanity Pro Wrestling is out of Indianapolis. That's a very fun one to work, and it's nice only traveling 20 minutes to go to a wrestling show. And then Ohio, I work Heartland Wrestling Association, which is used to be the one that the developmental for the Fed that Les Thatcher ran, and there was a parting of ways between Les Thatcher and the Fed, and now it's run by some other guy. But there's a lot of talent there. That those are three of the places that are that I work primarily up in the Midwest.
Impresses you there that we might not have heard of down here in the South, or wouldn't have gotten down this way? Any up and coming talent that
I have a lot of respect. I think a lot of the people who follow independent wrestling know about John Moxley, and he just got signed as, I think, Dean Ambrose or one of those guys. And I've been fortunate that I got to wrestle him quite a bit at HWA, and he's very, very good in the ring, and he has a I'm envious of his promo ability. He's very good at that and very expressive. And I think that he's going to be I think he'll be a big star. And I hope that he does a good job. But he was awesome to work with. I have a lot of respect for the Irish Airborne. They're a tag team out of Dayton, and they did some Ring of Honor stuff a couple years ago. And and Jake, the younger brother, I guess, is going to CZW, and they're doing a lot of that kind of stuff now. But both of those guys are just really, really talented. Well, and they're one of the most cohesive teams, and they actually look like a tag team. It's just not two people wearing the same stuff thrown together. They're shoot brothers, and they're very talented and hardworking guys, and I have a lot of respect for them as well. Those are some of the guys that, you know, that stand out to me, I think.
I want to get back to and touch on Saw again for a bit. And of course, you made the turn there and joined the A-Team and became the A-Team's legal counsel. Did you request a turn heel, or did they ask you to – I mean, how did that go down?
I think I was talking to Paul for a while, and I was I think about, you know, maybe – 6 months or a year before it happened, I kind of was like, hey, you want to turn me heel? You want to turn me heel? Because I thought that I was just getting, you know, it was just something that I wanted to do. And, you know, and we kind of put it off for a while. And then when he said, all right, we're getting ready to do this, I was really, really excited about it. Just because it was, you know, a new set of opponents to work, a different style to work. You know, certainly the opportunity to do more interviews is nice, and to improve myself that way and get to work with Dave Young and Rick Santel and Paul are all pretty good and entertaining on the microphone, and that'll just help me get better. Working with better people gets me better, and that's one of the nice things too.
Not having seen you work, I had not seen you work heel until that point, and of course it was somewhat surprising to me to see how much, I don't know, like you have a real good energy about it as a heel.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, and it's just, you know, it's a different style. I feel like I get to almost tell better psychology when I'm a heel. I don't know, but I do like it, and I've had a lot of good opponents there too. I love working with Ryan Genesis. I think we have a great chemistry, and those are some other pretty intense matches that they're fun, and I just think, you know, the different styles and the different way we look and the different way we wrestle, it turns into good matches. I've worked Wardell a couple times, and I think that we could do some really good stuff too. And then, you know, I got to work Chase 2 weeks ago, and of course that was he's always professional and really good to work with too. So it's nice to have a different set of opponents to work with as well.
And just curious what your take is on Paul Adams.
I like Paul. I think he's really creative. I think he has a good energy. I think he has good organization and being able to put up with all the guys like he does. You know, I think we have a pretty fun locker room at Saw, and everybody gets along pretty well. But everybody does like to have a good time afterwards, and you know, sometimes during the shows. And he's really good for keeping everything organized and very creative. And he's open too. And if I have anything that you know I think would work, and with other guys, you know, I know he's welcome to those suggestions. You know. He's fun to work with in the ring too. Sometimes it's hard not to laugh too when you're out there and you've got your game face on, and he'll say something, he'll do something, and just cracks you up a little bit, and you have to maintain character, kind of like but I guess that's just part of the wrestling business as well. You know, some lady at the Stadium Inn a couple weeks ago told Chase that she wanted to pick his wedgie, and he bent over and. She acted like she was going to, and then said she changed her mind, and then I had to look away because that was really stuff like that. You know, it's just ridiculous, but it's so funny at the times. You know.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you could not laugh with the matches with he and Rudy Charles both at ringside there doing the.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you been to the Stadium Inn?
No, I've been to Stadium, but not for a Saw show.
Okay. But you have been to the world famous Stadium Inn.
I have.
Okay, good deal. Well, I'm going to plug Saw for next this Saturday as well at the world-famous Stadium Inn. Everybody should come out.
And
for your Midwestern fans, they should come out to AAW in Chicago, too.
Saw programming note, I understand that the last few months, Saw on America 1 has been preempted numerous times out of their normal 10 p.m. Friday night time slot, but starting in August, that's over, and Saw will air again regularly at 10 p.m. Friday night, 10 p.m. Friday night, because it's been all over the map as far as when Saw actually gets on TV there. So I know Nashville, of course, they have their regular time, but America 1 will be back to 10 p.m. Saturday night or Friday night starting in August. And,
cool.
Hey, Murder, you've been very quiet there. You got any questions before we let you, Mr. Emerson go here?
I've got a non-wrestling question.
All right.
But I don't, as being a lawyer, I don't know if you can answer this because, you know, the law is all kind of fucked up and make you gag order and type thing. But you think you could have got Casey Anthony the chair?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. That's another controversial whatnot. I think that she was guilty of at least negligent homicide. I don't know if I could have gotten their chair because they didn't get any of the evidence in. I didn't follow it that much, but I think probably what happened is she went out partying with her girls and gave her little daughter some downers and gave her too much, and then she freaked out. But I don't know. That's another controversial one. I wonder if anyone in the wrestling business is going to touch that one.
That's the kind of questions I ask, my man.
Exactly.
That's what the people want to know.
Jesse, thanks for doing the show. Appreciate you giving us the time tonight.
All right, thank you, Larry. Murder, you have a good one. Larry, have a good night. Appreciate
right,
being on the show.
Take it easy, man.
You too. We'll look forward to seeing
all right,
you in
the Saw. All right, bye-bye.
Larry, I just thought of a segment that I could do for the next show. I could have him come on every time, and we could just ask him a crazy law question and relate it to wrestling.
Yeah. Legal wrestling question of the week or some, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure you'll come up with a more creative title for it, but.
Yeah, of course, and, you know, because that Casey Anthony thing, as soon as he said that he was in the prosecuting office, I had to know.
Sure. Well, you ready for Nemesis?
I'm ready to close this bitch out with a bang.
All right.
Get some cussing on this show.
Well, we know there's going to be plenty of that. We'll be back in 60 seconds with Nemesis.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true.
Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today. And not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
We're joined now by the one and only, the controversial, the Georgia Wrestling's bad boy, badass bad boy, Nemesis. Welcome to Phoning It In.
And from what I've been hearing, he's the last of the Concrete Gorillas. Is he there?
Hello. Oh, I think I lost him.
Damn it.
We'll try him again here. We're going to dial him up here.
We'll try that cool intro again.
Yeah.
Can't have tech. You know, we got to do a technical difficulty or three before, you know. I don't know how many technical difficulties you've been having.
Okay, let's see here. Nemesis, are you there? Hello?
There's no Nemesis. We got technical difficulties again.
Well, Trent Van Dries, are you there?
Hey, yo, I'm going to beat that pussy up, yo. I'm going to beat that pussy up. All night long. Shadow Jackson, you ain't got it, baby. Murder One, you nothing but a pimple on my ass. I'm going to beat that pussy up, yo. You feel me, brother? You feel me, yo?
That's Trent.
Trent, I'm your hookup. I'm your daddy. I'm your pimp, baby. Who do you think this is, goddamn chopped liver? God damn! I'm gonna beat that pussy up.
What? Oh, what the fuck, man? What is this?
This is phoning it in, brother. What do you think this is? A walk in the park? This is phoning it in. This ain't Rampage on a Sunday afternoon. This is Monday night. Wake
Hello?
Me up, would you?
Hello.
Nemesis.
Can y'all hear me?
Nemesis.
I can hear you.
Yeah,
now.
I'm here. Who are
you? You got some motherfucker over here pretending to be you. You need to go off on this imposter.
Man, I heard that stupid-ass motherfucker. Who is that, man?
Don't worry who it is. This is Nemesis.
Hey, man, whoever you... Hey, look, I ain't got time to be playing. Hey, you call me for what? Hey, Larry Goodman, I know you called me for an interview. Not to fuck around with some stupid-ass motherfucker on here, man. I don't even know who that is. He trying to play like... I guess you think I'm a joke? That's what you think? I'm a joke?
That's what
you're
doing,
a joke. I'm the real. What are you talking about? I'm the real Nemesis. Get this asshole off the line and start asking me questions.
Hey, Larry. For real,
hey,
Larry.
Hey.
I ain't feeling that right now.
Hey, yeah, okay. All right.
Who is that?
I ain't feeling that shit right now. What up, though?
So let's talk.
What up, though? So I'm up here. I was training, man. I was training and shit. My bad. My bad.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. No problem. No problem. I know you got to come up week Thursday night at the Masquerade Lights Out match, Jay Fury, right?
Yeah, flat out Jay Fury. He been ducking his hat, and I don't know where yet, man. You know what I mean? He don't answer his phone. He ain't showed up in about four. I ain't got a good job at Quick Trip. I might go down there and see if he really going to show up at the Masquerade, man. But it's a straight up Lights Out match, though, for real. So if y'all want to see Jay Fury, run down to the creature. Now let me stop chirping. Let me stop chirping, man. I'm acting a fool. I'm acting a fool. But it's lights out, though. Y'all show up. It's gonna be a tight little. You know, the whole show gonna be tight. But the main thing is me knocking him out for real. Jay gonna get knocked out. Come to Masquerade. Ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it.
Is this Thursday?
It's next Thursday. Not this Thursday, next Thursday.
What time it start?
It's at 8 o'clock. Meal time is at 8 o'clock at the Masquerade. You know what I mean? I'm getting my mind right now, y'all. Just, you know, I just got out the ring and shit. This, I'm hearing this dumb foolery over here on the phone by some other dumb motherfuckers, so I'm just getting my mind right.
For real. Foolery happening,
ain't it? Hey, man, listen. Hey, but, hey, hold on. Enough about me for a minute. I got to ask this question, man.
Yeah.
Man, who? I hear y'all busting pistols and shit.
See, anybody, hey, Larry, if anybody gonna feel,
hold on,
my nigga. If anybody gonna feel what the fuck went down on that pay-per-view, this nigga will feel it. This trick ain't for shit, because I got backup on this. Nigga, I bust three shots at Homicide and this boy Slick Wagner Brown, nigga, three of them, with the chrome Glock, my nigga.
Hell to the motherfucking dog. Hey, look, the business changing like a motherfucker. I'm finna carry my pistol to show. Can I do that too?
Do it. I encourage you.
I wanna do that shit. You know, a nigga just got off of probation and shit. So, you know, I could carry my pistol again. Can I do that?
My question is, why haven't you sent your shit to this company? It's built for niggas like us, man.
I ain't know nothing about it until I went somewhere. Somebody told me about it, and I started looking on the internet. I ain't think it was gonna pull off, bro. For real, real. But
bruh.
Shit, you off in there? Get a nigga in there, nigga.
Give me shit.
You off in there, motherfucker? Get us down there.
Hey, I done told every nigga that I know to give me their shit, and I will hand deliver it.
Nigga,
that's
my shit
saying.
Is history. Nigga, my shit is your mouthpiece, nigga. Flat the fuck out. Fuck a video,
not
nigga. My shit is your
that.
Mouthpiece, nigga. Go down there and just tell a nigga, like, this nigga's a real nigga. I'm about to, besides New Jack, nigga, I'm about the next realest nigga you know.
You
go down there and just run it.
Listen, I tried that bullshit. I tried that shit. You got shit online, right?
I got some shit online, some shit. Yeah, I got some shit online, but it's old shit. I ain't got no new shit yet.
Oh.
I ain't got no new shit, but I'm saying your word of mouth, nigga. You down there busting pistols, nigga. You shooting at niggas, nigga. You need to just you go in there with your pistol, nigga, like I got a real nigga.
Where's Trent at, man? Because Trent needs to hear this. I told him.
For real, dog. I'm dead serious, man. It got to take somebody to break the doors to help everybody else out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we've been grinding. I know you've been grinding a long time, my nigga. You've been grinding a long time. I've been grinding a long time. You know what I mean? We got to do something. I'm getting too old for this shit, man. I'm about to try to go to school to be a lawyer.
Oh, Lord.
Hell nah, nigga.
I'll let you defend me.
Nah, nigga. Don't let me do that, nigga.
But,
don't let me do that. What's up,
Larry Glidden? I'll text the dude right now.
Well, I was just thinking you're on a record you're on record pace as far as I'm the most time saying nigger in 5 minutes.
That's what we said. Come on, I told you before we started, I said it's time for it.
Hey, listen, let me explain something to you real quick. That's the way that I communicate. I don't care if you're white or black. That's the way I communicate. Any motherfuckers at any locker room I be in, they be like, damn. I know when they walk away, they be like, he just called me a nigga or something.
Yeah,
but that don't mean that you can say that back to me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's a respect thing. It's a lingo. Like, everybody got their certain lingo that they do and that they talk, that they speak. That's my lingo. My mama told me to stop saying it. Said, oh, we in Detroit. We done begged the word nigga. No, y'all didn't. That shit's still alive. Shit's still alive. I'ma say nigga. Why shouldn't I say it? It's a bad word? No, it ain't no bad word.
No, we're ready
saying,
to sure. You can do whatever you want out here.
Oh, I can.
I ain't saying nigga.
What's up, my nigga?
What up, my nigga?
What's up, my nigga? See, I ain't saying that. I say, what's up, my nigga? I ain't got time for these fake niggas. I'll kill a nigga.
You can say that on here.
That's how I talk. That's how I talk. Now, I can't, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. That's why people don't like me around. You know what I'm saying? That's why I probably ain't at RPW. I don't know.
Well, you know, just if I could ask you a couple serious questions. I mean, you were at RPW, but you weren't, you and Jay weren't there for very long.
The men is no probably better than me.
Nigga, I know the same about you, though.
Well, you know, I mean, it's. Transportation played a part in it, but you know what I mean. It's just to me, and I'm saying this from my, I don't got no heat with nobody. First of all, let me put that out there. I don't have no heat with nobody. But there's a lot of fake motherfuckers in this game. And I've been knowing that for a long time. But when I say fake motherfuckers and this motherfucker faking that, I'm a bad guy. Oh, yo, he don't know what he's talking about. Then they start bringing up shit in the past that I have done. But let's talk about what I'm doing right now. I'm not running around here acting ignorant like I used to be. But y'all are still acting. Motherfuckers that I knew, that I was in the business with, that, you know, they weren't even in the ring yet. They weren't even in the ring yet, but now they done made a little name for themselves. They done did this and that, and they done forgot where they came from. I'm going to be the same motherfucker with money or without money. I'm going to be the Demetrius, how long you been knowing me?
I've been knowing you a good, what, 15, 10, 15?
And you done seen me with money, and you done seen me without money, am I right?
Right.
So I'm the same nigga.
Just better.
I'm the same. I don't change.
Just better. Hey, just and better that, when you got better money. When you got more money.
You know what I'm saying? But I ain't got. I don't have time for no fake money. I don't have heat with nobody. I'm cool with motherfuckers. I done buried bones with motherfuckers. But you know, I'm sick of the bullshit in the game. I really am.
For real.
You know. You think you got you? I learned this, man. I know I'm stuttering because I'm trying to say a lot. Because this right here really bothers me, the bullshit that's in this game here. But you never, ever burn bridges. Never. Because ain't no telling when you got to go back across that motherfucker. And I know I have burnt a lot of bridges. And I had to do a lot of mending to put them motherfuckers back together. And I'll give another motherfucker a chance. But every bridge that I put back together, I never went back across that motherfucker the same way. I never did. So I'm not a fuck nigga, a fake nigga, a pussy nigga. I'm the same nigga 360 degrees. That's me. I'm not going to change. Just because you went up there and you had a contract, motherfucker, that don't mean that you still who you are when I met you.
Could I ask you a question?
You're very scared. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I know recently you went to you did some work with Mid Georgia Championship Wrestling down there in Stockbridge and so forth. But then I heard that like things didn't work out there so well, or something kind of went sour there. Could you comment on that?
Is that
okay.
Wait. Is that when you made the flush that nigga face down the toilet?
No.
What?
Nah.
Is that when you made that video where you flushed that nigga face down the toilet and nigga had to box?
That was Rampage that I did that video for. Now, they don't fuck with him no more. They don't fuck with him. But, okay. Now, everything I'm about to say is my opinion, and everything is all on me. It ain't on nobody else. It's on me.
Let me get the views of Nemesis does not reflect the thoughts of anybody else, especially the Phone It In crew, even though Murder One might laugh and agree. That's leadership. Hit it.
Here we go. So I'm cool with Andy and them. Andy is the man that run that MGC. I'm cool with them. We all cool, you know. They need a lot of work. They need a lot of fucking work. And if how can you pay... I don't give a fuck. How can you pay for outside talent and you don't pay for your inside talent? I understand that sometimes your inside talent ain't up to the level that it needs to be. Then spend that money, $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, spend that money on your local talent. Because when those motherfuckers leave, your local talent is the one that's going to keep bringing the motherfuckers through the door. Simple as that. And that's how they run their shit out there. That's how they run their shit, okay? So... I'm not tripping. I'm trying to get a payday. Because really, it's about a payday. That's what it is. I'm not trying to sound nasty, ugly, or whatever. But ain't no reason to be doing what we're doing if you ain't getting a payday. No matter what kind of payday it is, it could be a sandwich. I don't care. Get a payday. That's how I feel. All right? So I go out down there. They have a few workers that can't wrestle. I'm going to just put it out there. That can't wrestle. I'm not going to say no. I may say a name, but right now I'm not going
to
say it. But they can't wrestle. Okay. Right now I'm not. But they can't wrestle, okay? So I go down there, and this is what happened. Fuck it. His name is David. His name is David. He played a Russian. He underneath the mask. The whole fucking nine. So I know the motherfucker can't work, okay?
He can't accept the fact. If you tell a motherfucker they can't work, for some reason they want to get mad and fight. I don't understand that shit. Just look at your shit. You videotaping it, look at your shit. I'm not The Rock. I'm not Hulk Hogan, but I know some of the things that I do catch the interest of the crowd. Some of the shit I do don't, but majority of the shit do, okay? Can't really nobody say that I'm a bad worker like this motherfucker. That motherfucker can't work. So I go down there to the show. And first of all, he came up to PCW, all right? We was doing this thing with them. It didn't work out right, okay? So it didn't work out right. So fucking he came down here. All his whole crew stayed up there in Henry County. He came down here by himself, one of the spots. Okay. He gave him a spot. It was a war horse spot. And if you know what war horses is, you already know what it is. So it was a war horse spot. So he had a match with me. He knew what the match was from beginning to end. As a matter of fact, you really don't discuss a squash match. Not to me if you're going out there to squash motherfucker. But I knew I had to discuss it with him because he can't work. He cannot fucking work. So we go out there, we have a match, I squash them, boom, 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 boom. I'm the type of motherfucker, if I give it to you in the ring, give it back to me. You feel me? I'm not going to hurt nobody. Lady Goodman, you done seen some of my matches.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, I
don't hurt nobody. But I bet you that crowd believe we whooping each other ass in that motherfucker. Seriously.
Yeah.
So I go down there to their TV taping at People TV. Now, this is my first time there, and I'm not shitting on the place. It was a nice little setup. But it couldn't fit nowhere about 13 people probably. It was a little space. And I'm not hating. It was looking good, but I didn't see how you was paying that money. There go that money going out again. And you got bullshit talent. Okay? There go that money issued out again, but you want to put it on TV. You want to showcase this and that, you know, boo, boo, boo. But you got bullshit talent. And I'm not trying to shit on nobody in the game that's trying to make something. But don't think of yourself as something. And you ain't really put the time in to make yourself something. I cannot go in McDonald's talk about, nigga, I know how to flip burgers, and they ain't even showed me how to flip burgers. These motherfuckers can't work. So I go down there to their show. The first hour of TV I take, me and I can't think of his name, I'm sorry, but he's an up-and-comer.
Tyson Dean,
if he take his time and train a little bit more, that motherfucker could be off the chain. I see him something like, what's his name? I forget his name, but he used to be out of RPW. But anyway, so me and him had a nice little match. So the second hour of TV, I was the second match. They say, you got a match with Russian. I said, okay, cool. So I go to him. Now, first when I got to the show, he said, hey, yeah, what was that? He had an attitude with me because I speak to everybody when I walk in the locker room. He had an attitude with me. And then he came at me. He said, man, you shot on me at PCW. I said, I shot on you at PCW. And I'm laughing it off because, you know, I stay below, so I'm laughing it off. I'm like, bro, you tripping. I said, ain't nobody shoot on you. I'm thinking it's a joke. So he ain't laughing. So I brushed it off. And then he said something else. And then he came back and said something else about it, and we both laughed it off. Cool. So now it's the second hour. It's time for my match. So I go to him. We the second match. So I go to him. I said, we the second match. What you want to do, bro? He was like, said nothing to me. I said, okay. Okay. Now he don't want to communicate. So the way I was taught, that if a motherfucker don't want to talk to you and they want to talk in the ring, it's going to be serious. So I'm preparing myself. I'm ready. So the ref come and the ref want, and I'm letting it out there. The ref wanted to know what the finish was. I said, listen, man, I'm a DDT this motherfucker and 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait a minute, hold on, brother, hold on. This is what we're going to do, and blah, 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 blah. Now you want to talk. Now you want to talk. All right, so I'm indulging in the talk. We're going back and forth. Man, we get out there to that ring. We get in the ring. We lock up. Boom. Now, it was simple spots because he's a big man. So the spots were simple. A five-year-old could have done it. It's the shit that you learn the first day. Okay, so I'm talking. So we in the ring. We lock up. He takes me to the corner. He done forgot all about the spot. He done took me to the corner. Okay, okay. He grabbed my arm, and I'm in the air, and this motherfucker say arm drag. My shoulder popped like pop, pop, pop. Mm. I was like, oh, shit. I said, man, what the fuck? So I cut the nigga off in the ring. I cut him off. I get up. I'm like, I'm about to take over. This motherfucker started no-selling me in the ring. I'm talking about you can hear it on the cameras. You can hear me in the ring say, you gonna no-sell me, motherfucker? I'm talking about loud like that in the ring. Okay? And they was about to stop the show. So I'm looking like, okay. I'm looking at this thing. I'm trying to still keep the business. Now, keep in mind, I'm still trying to keep the business, okay? So I'm looking at this motherfucker. I'm like, let's go. You don't want to no-sell? Let's go. So when we locked back up, he did some kind of, I'm thinking we worked because when we locked back up, we were still working. So he tripped me up. I fell down. I'm telling this motherfucker to pin me. This motherfucker looking at me like, huh? I'm telling him to pin me. He fucking picked me. I kicked out. I fucking DDT'd him. And I got out the ring and I went to the back. This motherfucker go to the, I'm talking about you can hear us talking. And you hear me in the ring. You can hear us. They can't even show that. Okay? So I go to the back the long way. He go back the short way. So we're in the locker room. I say, man, is there a fucking problem with me and you? Is there a motherfucking problem? He ain't saying shit. I said, man, what the fuck was going on out there? He ain't saying that. Motherfuckers getting between us. I said this. I said, you can't work worth shit. Oh, my God. I done cussed his mama out. Now he want to stand up. He want to fight. He want to do this. So when he jumped up, motherfucker, because he shocked me. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. Because when I get on one, I be on one. He shocked me. He shocked me when he jumped up. So motherfuckers got between us and shit. I'm like, let that nigga go. Y'all don't have to hold him. He shocked me now, but y'all ain't got to hold him. It's all, you know, and we had words back and forth. So motherfuckers kept talking. So I grabbed this big-ass motherfucker stick that I carry with me. I grabbed this motherfucker stick because all them boys, and I'm saying boys, stick together. And I'm going to tell you why I know that. So even if I'd have swung on them or whatever, them boys, I ain't going to tell you what happened. That's just how I'm a paranoid nigga, especially when I'm on my green. All right, so we down there. We go through the whole shit. They take this motherfucker outside. He, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm doing that. So I go outside, and I'm like, you don't have to hold him back. I'm standing right here. Woo, woo. They push him all in the car. He get in the car. He drives off. Woo, 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 this and that. Woo. So I go back in there, and he like, yeah, we going to tell. And I'm telling y'all the honest to God truth. Andy was like, yeah, we about to let him go anyway. Even Eric, yeah, we going to let him go anyway. But they good old boys now. They good old boys. So, yeah, we're going to let him go. Nemesis, don't worry about it. We are making this angle. You're going to be back the next TV. We got a big show coming up. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Woo, woo, woo. All right, cool. Got my check. I left. That Monday, now, I made sure before I left now, man, I apologize, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we going to let him go. He ain't this. They're going to let him. He can't work. They were saying the same shit I was saying. Monday morning, I get a call from Eric. They sent Eric to do the bad work. I get a call from Eric. Eric say, well, Nemesis, People TV don't want you at the next show because they scared that you might tear up their stuff in their building. I said, Eric, you know what? That's understandable. That's cool. Now, at that time, I was probably doing something. I didn't trip. So I was like, that's cool. I kind of knew y'all was going to say something like that. I said, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Hung up the phone. A couple of days went by, and I got to thinking about it. Motherfucker, y'all next TV taping is not even at People TV. It's at a fucking high school. What the fuck they got to do with saying anything about me coming to the high school? You motherfuckers couldn't tell me to my motherfucking face that y'all didn't want me there. Y'all made up. Y'all gave Eric the phone call to make the phone call to tell me not to come. So I was kind of pissed about that. So I was an asshole. I turned into an asshole. I did some old dumb shit. I ain't going to lie. I called Eric and said, look, y'all booked me for that day. Y'all need to pay me. Y'all booked me. I canceled bookers in the hole now. Y'all need to motherfucking pay me. Of course they didn't pay me. Of course the motherfuckers did not pay me. But I bet you they won't book me no more. I know they not. So, here go the kicker, though. 2 weeks later, and I'm not knocking them. Maybe one day we'll talk. The minute me and you fell out, it took some years before I got to talk back with you. You know what I mean? We ain't the best of friends, but we cool as fuck. You feel me? I smoke, you know, weed is the universal language, nigga. We smoke one, we cool. So this nigga, this motherfucker come down here, this Russian again drive all the way down here 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. I don't even know. So I get a call before I get to the show, PCW. They say, hey, yo, Nemesis, you know the Russian down here. He say he want to talk to you. I said, man, I ain't trying to talk to nobody. I ain't getting no weed that day. I was kind of angry. I ain't smoking nothing before the show. My girl was pissing me off. So I'm getting to the show. I get to the show. This motherfucker's standing out here. So I'm ready to box. I'm thinking he coming down here to box. That's what I'm thinking. Fuck what everybody else say. They could be playing in this business. So I get out the car. He's like, hey, yo, Nemesis, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, bruh, I'm with my girl right now. I don't have shit to say to you. And I walked on in the building. That motherfucker jumped in his car and left. Ain't said nothing else. I ain't got nothing to say to him. I know they going to hear this shit. I know I'm making a few phone calls tomorrow. But I really don't give a fuck. The game, the wrestling game ain't like it used to be. Understand what I'm saying? It never was the sweetest thing for an individual, but you can make it sweet for yourself. But if you're an outspoken motherfucker, if you're a motherfucker that speaks your mind and ain't going to take no bullshit, oh, you get hated on, man. You get hated on. You get hated on, man. I don't give a fuck anybody that can say anything bad about me. Okay, back in the day, y'all could say some shit, and I was like, yeah, I was acting stupid. And I do admit, like I just told y'all, I was acting stupid. I told them this and that. I know when I'm acting stupid. But 9 times out of 10, I'm a cool motherfucker. I'm cool as fuck. I'm cool as fuck. Motherfuckers don't spit it on my game. It used to be a rumor out that I beat up women, rape kids. Hey, motherfuckers get to know me. Shit, as long as you stay on my good side, I mean, you ain't got to kiss my ass, but as long as we cool, we straight. Oh, that was the deal with MGCW, man.
Can I ask you about another? What I don't know if it's still a sore subject, but it was a few years ago. But it's a story that I'm sure that a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with. This goes back to when you and Shadow Jackson as Urban Assault Squad were like. Well, without a doubt, you were the hottest act in NWA Anarchy. You were the hottest act in Cornelia. And suddenly, out of Deep South Wrestling, another Urban Assault appears.
Sonny Siaki and, what was that other motherfucking name? I can't think of his motherfucking name.
Eric Perez.
I was heated about that, man. I was heated because, and this is my thought. This is what I was thinking, okay? Fucking Bill used to work for him. Bill Benz used to work for him. And Bill and them, I don't know what the departure was with Bill and D-South. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't sweet, okay?
No.
And I believe that was a shot. I believe that was a shot at Bill. I really do. You know what I'm saying? Let's find out, you know, because how in the fuck, somebody told me that Bill DeMont was the one that came up with the whole thing to do the shit. I forgot who told me. I believe it was what you call him. What's his face? I can't think of his fucking name. But it'll come to me. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all got you got rid of him down there at RPW. What you call him got rid of him down there. He used to work for Dr. Gayton.
Patrick?
He wrestled women and win the title. He wrestled girls a lot.
Nigel.
Nigel told me that. And I was like, seriously? So, you know, but he told me that afterwards, you know, after the whole shit was over with. But, yeah, I got hot on him. I cut a video. I put a video up on YouTube. Me and Shadow had just won the tag straps for the third time. I cut a video, and I kicked in on the video. I went hard on him on the video, right? I went down to Deep South with a video camera. I went off in that motherfucker, was taping it. Bill used it for one of their TVs. Taped the fake Urban Assault Squad trying to cut promos. They fucking told the police to get me the fuck out of there. I got all of that on fucking tape.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. I remember you coming in there and then escorting your ass out of the building that night.
Oh yeah, you was there.
Yeah. They had you marked right away. They got you out of there.
Hell yes. But I don't know if this was a work or a shoot. But I had put up a video on YouTube, me and Shadow cut a promo. I really cut the promo and went in hard. And the promo stayed up. But Bill was with it for me. I'm not knocking Bill. Bill, you're a cool motherfucker. You're my motherfucker. Bill was with it for a second because it was a stab at him. But Bill, we went to Anarchy one day, and Bill called me and Shadow in the locker room. It was Bill and Jay Farmer. And they was like, first thing they said, are we running an angle with Deep South or WWE? I already knew what it was. Bill would say, man, can you take the video down? You know, we're not running an angle with them. They say they got some phone call. I don't know. Todd and Bill didn't tell me that he was tied to somebody else. That probably was the work. They got a phone call. I mean, Jerry Palmer got a phone call from somebody in WWE and some developed motherfucker, and they was like, they didn't like this shit. Nemesis ain't never got to worry about getting a job here and da 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 da. I'm like, what the fuck? When I first got in this business, I did have that childhood dream. Ooh, I want to make it to WWF, because it was WWF then. I had that dream. Don't get me wrong, I did. But then reality set in. Shit, it's a long, hard road. It's hard work and a hard road to get there, for real. And 9 out of 10, if you ain't doing what another motherfucker, if you ain't being a bitch for another motherfucker. Like I just said, motherfuckers don't understand real motherfuckers in this game. Seriously. So that's where they got that phone call. So I took the video down and shit. Yeah, I took the video down. So that's my only, if I ever had a claim, that's my only, because I was a niche in somebody here. I was a niche in somebody here, man. I just don't, fuck it. Hey, this is what I want to ask. Can I ask a question, though?
Yeah. All
right. Oh. Hey, anybody heard from Jack?
He said, "What up, nigga?" on Twitter about a week ago. Last time I actually saw him was when we did the Dragon Gate pre-show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was there with his lady.
Who? Oh, yeah, he got married, I heard.
Whoa, what
you doing? Yeah, an old girl got... Somebody
really?
Told me he married an old girl. Yes. They said they married, like... I do. That's what I heard.
Oh, man, I didn't hear that one.
Okay, well, I done said it on the air. It might not be true, y'all.
But then, that's why we didn't let them know who it was.
I forgot who told you that. He went and got married. I want to say Bill, but it might not have been Bill. Somebody told me. I was talking to somebody, you know what I mean? But somebody told me.
I just wanted to know.
I ain't talked to him in a minute.
He's straight,
I ain't talked to him. He's straight. Hey, what up, Jack? If you out there listening. What up, though, nigga?
He real.
But that's what's been going on with me, Larry Goodman. You know what I'm saying? I'm losing weight now. I'm doing push-ups now. I'm trying to run the treadmill. I'm drinking milk now. You know what I'm saying? I'm smoking a little bit of better weed right now. So I'm trying to get in shape, man. Trying to get out here because this might be my last year. Next year might be my last year. You know what I'm saying? I'm just having fun right now, man. I'm having fun. That's all. If you can't have fun with this shit, keep your ass at home. I ain't going to say nobody's name. I was in a match the other day, and we was working a tag match, and I'm working a tag match against some other guys, and these guys were arguing between themselves on who was going to take a pin. Why people do that?
Wow.
Why do people do that, bro? Let's have fun with this shit, man. Let's have fun. Let's get money and have fun with this shit, man. It's too much bullshit in this game. But I love it, though. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I love the bullshit because, you know, bullshit come to me, I'm a brick wall, man. I can handle it, bro.
Every time I've seen you in Platinum, it seems like you're having fun. And you've been able to coexist with Stephen Platinum and for a long time now. You were one of the you were there from the beginning, weren't you? With him, pretty much.
Yeah. Yep, I had I went through my little jail shit, my little bullshit and all that bullshit and I couldn't go no place to work, keep it 100. I couldn't find a place to work with nobody booking me. I couldn't go back to Anarchy. That's a whole nother subject. I couldn't go back down there, you know what I'm saying? So Steve trained Jay. So me and Jay was already, we had already started the Concrete Gorilla shit, so he had talked to Steve, and Steve was like, sure, you know, because me and Steve met each other back in the day, too, and we butted heads at one time, you know what I mean? And I didn't think that, you know what I'm saying, there go that bridge that I burnt, you feel me? But I ain't never think that, but it was Jay's word that got me off in the dough, you feel me? And me and Steve is a cool motherfucker. Some motherfuckers don't understand him, but he a cool motherfucker, man. I can't say it's really nothing I can, and I'm not trying to put nobody over, kiss nobody ass, or nothing like that, of the motherfuckers that's going to say that I am. Okay, but, so that's that paranoid shit. But Steve Platinum is a cool motherfucker. He give a motherfucker a chance. You feel what I'm saying? Most motherfuckers would. Nigga, man, look, I'm not the best wrestler. I'm not the best worker in the world. That motherfucker put me in a match with Colt Cabana. Come on, man. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for that. To me, that's a privilege. To me, that's a privilege. Steve let me do, you know, he let certain shit. And trust me, Steve, I have been fired before. You know what I'm saying? I acted a fool again, you know. But I respected that. He had to do what he had to do. If you go to anybody's job and work for them, you got to basically, like I said, do what they want to do. You know what I mean? You can't really rebel. You won't have a job unless you over like that. And I don't think I'm over in the game like that. See, Demetrius can go somewhere and just, you know, shoot up motherfuckers and shit.
Yeah, yeah. They say, hey, when they handed me that shit, I think I said, for real, you want me to do this? They was like, yeah. They was like, do it. Have you ever? I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's roll. They was like, you need
hey, for real, though, that was that right there, it has the potential to change the game right there. But it's gonna be a lot of motherfuckers that knock it because of the violence.
It's already happened.
Yeah,
it's already started.
But it could. But I'm not racist. But you know, every time a nigga try to put something together, you know what I'm saying? It's never right in the eyes of the world, anyway.
But you know what though?
That's just some real shit.
Hey, it's more white folks popping for it than it is niggas.
I know because. Most, I ain't gonna say that. Let me be quiet.
And then you got one dude, right? There was one dude. I'll say like there's 15 people that came actually forward and said I needed to be fired because I stabbed that nigga with a toothbrush.
What?
Yeah, I shanked the nigga with a toothbrush.
Man, look, man. I know, listen, bro, hold on 1 second. Y'all finna go?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm going to need a ride from somebody. I got a blunt.
Do you? Yeah.
Hey, hold on 1 second.
Well, Nemesis, we only got about 3 minutes on the air left anyway.
Okay, can I say just something real quick? You know what I'm saying? It's been a long time since I did this shit. You know what I'm saying? To all the real motherfuckers in the game, what up, dog? Keep your heads up. Keep striving. Keep doing what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? It's the new Nemesis. Keep doing what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Don't let the haters hold you down. Shake the motherfuckers off. You feel me? Don't let other motherfuckers be trying to talk you down because you know you got talent and you can go other places and you can do other things and you can do things that some motherfuckers can't do. Don't let those motherfuckers hold you back because you only get one chance. You only get one. Every year you get older and older and older and you and everybody in this business, including me, is bumping their ass off. I'm 42 years old, just turned 42, and my body hurt. I wish I'd have started this shit back in the game with some of you young cats had started it because I'd have never listened to near motherfucker and I'd have been someplace. So y'all just take that, you feel me? Because no, ain't nobody real in this game going to kick it with y'all like that. This is a holler at Nemesis. And y'all watch out for Gorilla City TV. I'm about to put that out there. That's going to be some real shit. It's like a TV show that's going to show some real crazy. You might see on that motherfucker. You might see some laughter. You know what I'm saying? Y'all stay tuned for that shit.
Can you see some titties on it?
You might see some. You might, boy. We gotta get that other channel for that.
All right, then.
We gotta get that other channel for that. But hey, good. Thank you, man, for letting me be on your show. I'm sorry, shit was fucked up. I was kind of caught off guard because I was up here on training and shit. But you know what I'm saying? I'm letting everybody know what I be doing on my time off. Sometimes I gotta put that training in, bro. I got
you.
That's all
right. Thanks for the awesome interview. I'll see you at the Masquerade Week Thursday.
Everybody show up at the Masquerade because I'm going to beat the shit out of Jay Fury. I'm beating the fucking lights out. They're going to take me out of handcuffs. That's what it's going to be. Holla at y'all.
All right, one, nigga.
Wow.
That was classic.
Yeah.
Who was the fake one, man, for real? You know who that was. Was that Trent trying to be funny?
That was Vandrese. That was Trent.
You see how he ran real quick, didn't he? That was his word.
Yeah, he ducked.
Two phones.
He ducked out. You get it out after that.
That was a real good thing.
Hey, well, I'm not going to get mushy on you or anything, but it's been a pleasure, man. I've really enjoyed it.
I am too. And stay tuned because I'm going to keep the name phoning it in. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where it started. I'm going to keep the name. I've already decided on that. And y'all stay tuned because Larry will still be the press agent for this new and exciting show.
Cool.
I'm thinking about making it like a little talk show, you know. It's going to be nice. I might even get Percy Watson on the show.
Stay tuned to GWH, George Wrestling History, and we'll have an update on what Murder One has in mind for phoning it in the future.
Later, Larry.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH.